Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 6, day 2 of the study of 2 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Kings 14, 1 through 22. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray on Tuesdays for the nation of Indonesia. Lord, I ask that you would raise up a witness. Would you raise up messengers of the gospel, laborers to go into the harvest fields there, Lord, and share the good news of salvation in Jesus. Lord, we ask for revival. We ask for an awakening in the nation of Indonesia. And Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV as always. This is 2 Kings chapter 14, starting in verse 1. In the second year of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoaddan. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father David had done. In everything he followed the example of his father Joash. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. Now remember, the high places are places that were set up to worship the one true God, but they weren't at the temple. They were literally in high places on top of mountains and places like that. People going off to worship God in their own way, in whatever way they saw fit. And so the Lord looked on that, not unfavorably, but not favorably as well. It was one of those things where they weren't supposed to be doing this, but it was much better than them worshiping foreign idols. And so the Lord didn't look on it with terrible disfavor, but there were other things going on as well. Verse 5, after the kingdom was firmly in his grasp, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. Yet he did not put the children of the assassins to death in accordance with what is written in the book of the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded. Parents are not to be put to death for their children, nor children put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sin. He was the one who defeated 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt and captured Selah in battle, calling it Jokthiel, the name it has to this day. Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, with this challenge. Come, let us face each other in battle. But Jehoash, king of Israel, replied to Amaziah, king of Judah. A thistle in Lebanon sent a message to a cedar in Lebanon. Give your daughter to my son in marriage. Then a wild beast in Lebanon came along and trampled the thistle underfoot. You have indeed defeated Edom, and now you are arrogant. Glory in your victory, but stay at home. Why ask for trouble and cause your own downfall and that of Judah also? So here we see Amaziah is very zealous, and it might even be that his zeal here is not just for military conquest, but it's to reunify this fallen nation, because we see that he seems very zealous for the Lord. He's even abiding by the law, something we haven't seen a king of Judah do in a very long time, or very few kings of Judah in a very long time, that he's actually going back and reading the law. It's apparent that he's read it, or he's had it read to him, and so he knows it, and so he didn't put these assassins' children to death. This is a big deal. Now remember, he didn't get rid of the high places, but the Lord is remembering him as a good king in every other way besides that. But here he is, arrogant over this victory over Edom, and it might even be that his arrogance is for the sake of God's people, for the sake of a reunified nation. But the problem is the Lord doesn't want these two nations reunified. And it seems to be the thing that Jehoshaphat did wrong, is that he, in some form or fashion, thought that if he could reunify the nation, that the Lord would receive glory, that he wanted to bring them together. And it wasn't the Lord's plan. Sometimes we will come up with ideas. We think, well, this would be great. This would be a great thing to offer to the Lord without asking him if it's something we should do. And obviously here, Amaziah is, for whatever reason, we don't know if it really is for his zeal for the Lord or just his desire for conquest, that Amaziah is off base here. He's not actually seeking the counsel of the Lord. He's doing what he thinks he should be doing without seeking the Lord's counsel. Had he sought the Lord's counsel, the Lord probably would have told him, don't attack. Verse 11, Amaziah, however, would not listen. So Jehoash, king of Israel, attacked. He and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh in Judah. Judah was routed by Israel, and every man fled to his home. Jehoash, king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, at Beth Shemesh. Then Jehoash went to Jerusalem and broke down the wall from Jerusalem from the Ephraim gate to the corner gate, a section about 400 cubits long, or that's about 600 feet. So it's not a big section, but it's 600 feet is a big enough section to get troops in if you wanted to. He took all the gold and silver and all the articles found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace. He also took hostages and returned to Samaria. So he comes in and he conquers Jerusalem, basically like a foreign conquering king. He takes people back as exiles with him to Samaria. And Amaziah is going to be allowed to live, but he is going to take a serious hit when it comes to his reign, his rulership as king. Verse 15, as for the other events of the reign of Jehoash, what he did and his achievements, including his war against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Jehoash rested with his ancestors and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, his son, succeeded him as king. What a terrible name for a king of Israel. This is Jeroboam the second that we will be reading about next time, but what a name. Why name your son after the man that started all of the badness off in the nation of Israel? Anyway, I digress. Verse 17, Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, lived for 15 years after the death of Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. So obviously, Joash let him live and let him go back to Jerusalem to rule it, even after he was captured at Beth Shemesh. Verse 18, as for the other events of Amaziah's reign, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? They conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent men there after him to Lachish and killed him there. He was brought back by horse and was buried in Jerusalem with his ancestors in the city of David. Then all the people took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his ancestors. So in case you're wondering, like, why all of these assassinations and all of these things, if you were a king back then and you led a failed campaign, it really didn't matter most of the time how many battles and cities you'd won. It really was a what have you done for me lately kind of thing. And because Amaziah had brought so much shame on the people of Judah for losing this campaign against Joash in Israel, that hung with him. It hung with him for a very long time. The political balance here, you have to understand that for a very long time, they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't get rid of Amaziah. He was restored to his place in Jerusalem. He lived a very long time after that. But when he was old, they decided to kill him off. And this is where it gets interesting, because most of the time, if you would assassinate a king, you would get rid of the whole family line and start with someone else. It's what they did several times in the nation of Israel. But they wanted Amaziah gone so that they could put his son Azariah in his place at the age of 16. They've hated him for a very, very long time because of the scorn and shame he brought on Judah. And now that he's older and weaker, probably physically and politically, now they get rid of him and they put his son in his place. a 16-year-old son. That's how bad they want him gone. Even though he was a good king, even though he was one whose heart was after the Lord, they want him gone because he failed them. That is just how it goes in national politics and nation building in war. What have you done for me lately? And if the last lately thing is a loss, your name is mud. Now, again, there's a lot of years and there's probably a lot of intervening things that went on that made them hate him even more. But this one defeat, and the reason we're told about it at length here, is because it stuck to him. Amaziah was allowed to live, but that thing stuck to him for the rest of his life. And it's more than likely why they put him to death and put his son in charge in his place. So if you've ever thought, boy, I should be in charge, they should put me in charge of this, if I were leading this, it would go this and that way, just remember, the person on top, the one with their head poking out the highest, is the one that it's easiest to swing that axe at and knock that head right off. When you put yourself out there like that, you are the first one to go when things go bad. So being king can have its perks, but it also has its drawbacks. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review in iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.